Welcome to the podcast series from the Institute for Social and Economic Research at the University of Essex. In today's podcast, Dr. Annette Jekyll talks about the opening of the Understanding Society Innovation Panel Competition 2014, explaining how the panel works, what makes a good proposal, and what researchers should think about before entering.
The Innovation Panel is a panel survey, as the name suggests, of about 1,500 households that we interview every year, asking them about their situation and changes they've experienced in the past year. The design is based on the main Understanding Society survey, with one key difference, which is that we use the Innovation Panel for experiments and methodological tests. So this can be to develop key innovations, either in data collection methods or in contents. Generally, the aim is to generate new knowledge in ways that we can't use on the main survey.
Now, every year there's a competition where researchers can effectively come up with ideas. Tell us a bit about how that's worked over the last 5 years since it's been running.
Yes, like you say, every year we have an open call that we send out around the world for researchers to propose ideas for things that would be included in the Innovation Panel. And the nice thing about this is that successful proposals we then implement and we collect the data at no cost to the proposers. This year, the competition starts on the 17th of March, and proposers have roughly 2 months until mid-April to submit their proposals. And you can see the website for more details. That'll give you the application form and the call for proposals that has more information about what exactly we're looking for. So the proposals are then assessed by a review panel. And this year we would be telling people whether or not their proposal's been successful in July. And then the proposers would be asked to help us implement their study during the autumn, and we would collect the data next spring.
Tell us a bit about what makes a good competition entry.
The review panel are looking for proposals that have a really good research design with a very good publication potential. So here we're looking for things that are innovative research questions or using an innovative design to collect data to address an existing research question, preferably on topics where there isn't much or no evidence so far. And we're really looking for proposals where the design has been very carefully thought through.
So that's what the review panel are looking for, but there are also some very clear criteria, aren't there, that need to be followed?
There are some more specific criteria that we have that proposals need to meet in order to be considered. So a study, a proposal, can have different types of aims. For example, it could aim at improving methods of collecting data for longitudinal surveys. So, for example, this year we have an experiment where we're testing experimentally whether it makes a difference how often we contact respondents in the year between the interviews, so how often we send out mailings. So that's a survey methodological question. Can we improve response rates by changing how frequently we contact people? Or proposals can have a substantive research question. So, for example, a few years ago, we had a study that aimed to understand why it is that women tend to do more housework than men. So regardless of whether the study is about data collection methods or whether it's a substantive research question, it has to meet some key criteria. The first is that it has to include an experimental design or a methodological evaluation in some way. So, for example, it could be an experiment in the example that I just gave, where we're interested in testing whether sending out mailings more frequently rather than just once makes a difference to the response rates that we get at the next wave. Or the experimental design could also be part of the data collection strategy. So where you're not necessarily interested in comparing the effect of a treatment, but the study about men and women doing different shares of housework, that used what's referred to as a factorial survey design. So the researchers came up with a whole set of hypothetical scenarios that they wanted respondents to evaluate, and then they used a random allocation to decide which respondents would evaluate which scenarios. So that for us qualified as an experimental design. Or economists are using what they call lottery designs, for example, to measure people's attitudes towards risks. So those would be another example of an experimental design that we would consider. Now, we do also include studies that do not have any element of random allocation, where everybody is asked something in the same way, But then the researchers have an interesting methodological question about how these new questions work. So, for example, last year we had a study that measured people's finger lengths, because the ratio of the length of the second and fourth fingers is a marker for the amount of testosterone that someone was exposed to before birth. And in this case, everybody's fingers were measured in the same way. And the researchers were then interested in how well that worked, especially since part of the survey were interviewed by web, so where respondents had to provide their own measurements. So there were some methodological questions as part of the proposal, which then also qualified.
The study has to be longitudinal, doesn't it? So what are the considerations here?
This can be done in different ways. You could use information that we've collected in the past when you're analysing the results of your study. So, for example, this year we have an experiment about how people think about environmental taxes. And the experiment involves asking different random subsets of respondents questions that are worded differently. And here the proposer is then using information that we've collected in previous interviews about people's attitudes and behaviours regarding environmental issues. So that would qualify as a longitudinal design. We're making use of information that we've collected in the past. Or similarly, some studies might make use of information that will be collected in future. So the study where we're varying how often we send people letters, for example, that will make use of the survey outcomes in the next wave, whether or not the household then responds in the next wave. So that's another example, making use of the longitudinal nature. Or then thirdly, we have studies where we repeat the study, say a second or even a third time. And that can be because the researcher is proposing testing, asking questions in different ways, and is really interested about how that affects people's reports of changes. So to measure change, obviously, we need to ask the questions at least twice. Or in some cases, to answer a specific research question, the researcher is interested in using a particular statistical method that requires having two or more observations about each person. So where, again, we have to repeat the study.
So you wouldn't carry a cross-sectional study?
We don't include things that you could do in a cross-sectional survey where you just go and you interview people once. You know, it's quite unique to be able to do experiments in a panel survey. And so we really want to make use of that element.
What about the length of the study? Is that an important consideration?
The whole interview is only about 40 minutes. This includes a self-completion section. And so successful proposals in the past have usually been no more than, say, maximum 3 to 5 minutes.
For any researcher who's now hopefully interested in taking part in this fantastic competition, what would you say are the key things to consider before submitting their proposal? What should they really think about long and hard?
Well, the really, really key things are the criteria that I've just been talking about. And if you're in any doubt about how your study might meet those criteria, then do get in touch with me and you'll find my contact details in the call for proposals. And then there's some other things that we ask you to think about very carefully in preparing your proposal. One is think about sample sizes. Given the design of your study, do you expect that the sample sizes that we're likely to get will be sufficient to actually address the research questions that you have? Think about how much time it would take in terms of questionnaire time to implement your study. How long is it likely to be? Think about whether your study involves any extra costs. So as I've said, we cover the standard data collection costs, but if you're thinking of sending out additional mailings or paying respondents additional incentives for something, those additional costs you would need to find a budget for, and you'd need to tell us in advance where the money would come from. Then we also ask you for a specification of the questions that you're proposing or any other text that we would need for your study. And really importantly also, we ask you to think about carefully and tell us about your plans for analysis. How do you plan to use the data from your study to address the research questions that you have? Those are the key things, I would say.
All the details of the competition, including criteria and information on how to enter, are available on the Understanding Society website at www.understandingsociety.ac.uk.